Wally, have we been cooking?
Beaver, we've really been cooking.
Welcome back to the third installment of Radio Impound Podcast Show. Along with me, Kirby Han, is Gotti Jr. Gotti, what's up?
What's up, Kirby?
How's Berwick treating you?
Oh, Berwick's treating me fantastic.
Good news. Good. All right, we got a special one today for y'all. We got Joel Magic Johnson lined up right after we do the news. And right now it's time for the Radio Impound Podcast News Desk. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Are we jacked up now or what?
Woo!
Here, just in case you didn't hear it.
Oh. It's a throwback. All right, top of my news is the one of the biggest events of all year is the Neo 12 that just happened this past weekend over in the UK. Jared Tebow TQing, winning the Dash for Cash, and the main event. So that makes him a four-time winner. Four-time. Kyosho, powered by Orion, Maximum Fuel, and AKA Tires. Yeah. Finishing second was Ty Tessman. Third, Ryan Mayfield, and Ryan Cavalier finished fourth.
Yeah, Ty was pushing him there for a while.
Yeah, he's in Fuego so far this year. Canada's finest.
Running for Hot Bodies and Pro Line.
Yeah, no doubt. What else I got? See, J Concepts released some carbon fiber products. They got they released the Monroe battery straps, Monroe battery braces for the B41, T41, and SC10. They got an SC10 rear body mount brace, and they got hub towers that fit the aluminum 0.1 generation rear hub carriers for your associated vehicle. So check it out. They look pretty hot.
I need plus, part numbers, sir. Plus, part numbers. Remember that? Part numbers.
Sell something. Plus, sir.
Well, just give me the name of the product. Give me the part number, please.
And carbon fibers, you know, always looks good.
Did you, you know, back to the Neo buggy race real quick.
Yeah.
Did you see how they determined the pole position on that?
I think we touched base on that last week. Was that the,
one warm-up lap and then they had one race lap and that determined the pole position.
Right. That's a pretty cool idea. I dig that.
I think you touched on it a little bit, but I guess from what I was reading over the weekend that some of the drivers were upset about it.
Really?
But then others were like, you know, what the hell? I mean, a fast guy's going to be fast regardless. So.
Yeah. Yeah. True that.
That was a pretty interesting little twist there.
Indeed. That'd be cool to change it up, you know. State races, you know. Change it up. That'd be cool.
You know, I was watching that on my Droid Razor. Can you do that on your iPhone?
I haven't tried. I'm sure you can. I mean.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. Yeah, I had to run some errands, so I just brought it up on the Razor and was just riding around with the race on.
Couldn't miss a moment.
Nope, kind of. You ain't doing that on 3G. Ugh.
Live RC, shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Associated releases carbon fiber shock towers for the RC 8.2. It uses the same geometry as the aluminum shock towers, except, you know, they're going to be quite a bit lighter than those aluminum slabs. We got Team Durango releases a new radio box for their Nitro buggy and truggy, and it has more room for receiver and wiring, hinged door for easy battery access, and a relocated antenna mount.
Oh, so, nice!
If you got a
big news for Durango also this week.
Mm-hmm.
They're hooked up with Great Plains now.
Absolutely. I guess I can check that one off my news list.
Check that one off, buddy. Woo. I was like, wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah, that'll
be able to get your parts from Tower Hobbies and stuff now.
That's a big plus. Get that name out, get the parts spread out too. So.
Yeah, I guess they've been having a major problem getting parts.
Yeah.
So, because they apologized in the press release and said hopefully this will clear everything up now.
Should. That'll be clutch. So if you were kind of on the fence about getting a Durango, I don't know, parts availability, you don't have an excuse now. So you can be Yorn. All right, well, you can drive the same cars. Yeah. You got anything else? Gotti?
Oh, well, how can you miss this one here? I got Team Associated released.
Uh-oh. I was going to save this one for last.
Oh, okay. You want to do that one? You can do that. I'll give you the honors on that one.
But do you got anything else besides that?
Last week.
Okay.
I did the trucker hat last week.
Right on. No. Anything besides that, though?
No, I stole your Great Plains Durango. Yep. I stole that one.
All right.
I just had that pole position one. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I guess that saves the best for last. Team Associated. Top of the game. As far as I know, the first RC company to release this, you know. So this is pretty big news I saw this week in via Live RC. Team Associated releases an umbrella. So,
no, I mean, all joking aside, it's, hey, those hot days out in the sun, now you got an umbrella to put over, you know, like, some of those pro drivers can have their manservant and hold the umbrella over them.
Yeah, just like
cool.
Just like a MotoGP race, you got the, umbrella chicks.
I'll tell you right now,
they're bringing
when we're at the 1-8 scale nationals coming up in May, is it?
Yeah. No, that
May, June.
The warm-up race is the end of this month. I think it's right in June, but regardless.
Well, we're going to have some radial impound groupies hold the umbrella for us over us.
Yeah, and they will be Team Associate umbrellas.
Exactly. Seriously.
Yeah. Yep. No jokes. All right. Let's see. A couple shout-outs for some listeners that have been given good reviews, so... Like to shout out anybody that's, you know, giving us some props. You got RC Addict, Habata Man, Laura Harder, 7XL, Ambrosino 99, Snoopy. I wonder if that's the same Snoopy I know. I'm betting it is. Lipo Sniffer.
I like that name.
Pretty original. Wiki 24 and Stamball. So appreciate the props and hope you enjoy number 3.
Yeah, let me give another shout out to Rich Hawks.
All right, there, Hawks. Mm-hmm.
We received a compliment from him on the Facebook page, and if anybody knows Hawks, getting a compliment from Hawks,
that's hard to do.
Is very hard to do.
You know you're doing something right when you get a compliment from Hawks.
Yes. So, I nearly fell over when I saw that come through. And I was very happy. I wrote back to him saying, you know, I arrived when Hawk says,
good job.
You know, good job. So thanks a lot, Rich. Yeah.
Thanks, pal. I guess that's gonna do it for the news. And should we throw it to the weatherman? Oh wait, he's on break. Yeah. Oh.
we will be having a weatherman now, or I should say weatherwoman.
Mm-hmm.
Given us from the track
live updates
of the weather for the nationals, the 1-8 scale nationals in what is it?
LCRC. Yep.
LCRC.
Check them out.
So we're going to make her travel 45 miles from her home
just
to give us the weather exactly at that track,
because right, people want to know.
I mean, she's already complaining she can just do it from her house, she's not that far. I said, no, we need you.
I can't rely on the internet, all right?
Yep.
We need factual-based information.
So hopefully we'll be doing that for the warm-up and the nationals.
Yeah.
I think we're going to make her, since gas is pretty cheap these days,
yep,
we're going to make her run Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, make her run back and forth.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
until you guys get there. We just want to make sure that you realize the weather's nice. You can just drive right in. If it's really bad, she's telling us bad, you guys can just turn around.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, umbrella, yes or no. So.
Yeah, associated an umbrella, yes or no. So.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, well, let's take a break, and we'll get our guests on the line.
Let's see if we can get a hold of the Magic Man.
The Magic Man. So stay tuned. In real time here, it's going to be like 10 minutes, but two seconds will go by, and, you know, here's Joel.
It's like, we're going to go on break, and we're back.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
All right.
It's all good. All right, guys.
We'll be back in a sec. What?
Okay, can I help you?
Oh, yeah, we're looking for Joel Johnson.
Who's calling?
Can you tell him it's Gotti Jr.?
Just a moment.
Thank you. I hope I dialed the right number. Like, I hope he didn't give me a different number to dial.
I wonder what she'd think. Gotti Jr., what?
Joel.
Yes.
It's Gotti. How you doing?
Not bad. How are you doing?
And I got my buddy Kirby here.
Hey, Joel. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Kirby. Been a long time.
Absolutely. It's been ages.
Yes.
How's California out there?
It's nice today. Nice and sunny.
But it's warmer than 49 degrees.
Yeah, a little bit. But it's supposed to rain tomorrow, so we'll probably get back down there pretty soon. You guys are on fire, I heard, down South Jersey there.
Yeah, I see some fires down there. Yeah, like crazy forest fires, and all this wind is just adding to it.
Yeah, not helping, that's for sure.
No. So, I'm gonna just do an intro quick, and we'll just get right into it. All right.
How much time do you have, Magic?
I don't know.
7 minutes.
Excellent. That sounds good.
All right. All right. On the line, we got 34-time national champion, 2-time world champion, driver of the millennium, Joel Magic Johnson. Everybody. Joel, thanks for taking our call and spending a little time here with us.
Hey, glad to be here. Look forward to it.
Now, doing a little research online, I noticed there's a zillion interviews out there, and we're going to try to make it a little more fun than some of those cookie cutter ones. So we'll try to have a little fun here and make it zoom by. So you started racing in 75, which I guess kind of dates you a little bit. Sorry. And your first car was a 12 scale gas car?
Right. Jeremy car. Yeah.
I didn't even know that existed.
They do. Hmm. They're quite the collector's items now.
Yeah,
in fact,
I bet.
I follow them on eBay. He's always looking for a pristine one to
that'd be cool.
Have a collection. Yeah.
Your first world championship was 2-wheel drive off-road, running the Kyosho car. You're obviously you run everything and kick butt and everything, but more known as an on-road driver. How did that the off-road world championship come about? Like, everything just clicked that day, or I mean.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that was a kind of a perfect scenario, I guess, in a way. I mean, the European tracks are, honestly, they're multi-surface. They're pretty flat compared to the tracks here in the U.S. And, you know, Kyosho had a great tire at that event, and any world championship tires are everything, really, especially when they're not a control tire, obviously. So we just had the right combination, and yeah, it was, I guess, my day in a way. So, but certainly I'm a much more of an on-road racer than I ever was an off-road racer.
Second world, I mean, this is jumping ahead, but the second world championship was the 10 scale on-road, and that was the kind of the debut of the Evolution 10. How was that adjusting to that car, and was it issues getting that thing set up good, or I mean, I know you had Dieter there helping out, but was that car like an advantage compared to, you know, the old T-bar cars that were around at that point?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that car, that was the first time that car ever hit the track, was in practice for that event, and Jim, you know, designed that thing and put it together, and we, you know, I honestly in the beginning was kind of against it because I'd already been practicing for a couple of days, and I didn't, mm-hmm. you know, I thought it might be really disruptive to try to tune a brand new car. But we did run it. Obviously, we ran it, but we threw it down for a practice run to see. And immediately, it had just much more corner speed than the T-bar cars of the time. And
gotcha.
It was, that was a big open fast track, and that's where those center battery cars do real well. And it was immediately an advantage. I mean, I think it just carried much more corner speed, and the rest is kind of history. But it was a nice advantage at that race. It was first time anybody'd seen a center battery on-road car like that, and it worked out for sure.
Yeah, that was pretty cutting edge. I remember when that was. Saw the pictures and the ads in the magazine. I was like, wow, that thing looks unlike anything else. So that's pretty cool to do it with a literally brand new car out there. I guess one of the things I heard forever back in RC history class, the race that kind of, I don't know if you want to say that, like, I don't want to say made Trinity, but like kind of cemented Trinity's place in history. I guess it was a race in Japan, and I don't know if you could tell us a little bit about that, like what race was it, what class? Do you know which race I'm talking about?
Okay. Definitely. I believe it was 1985, I think, was the year that it was the same year that the 12 scale world championships were in Denmark, I believe. That's the ones that Buddy Bartos won one of the classes, I believe. I forget who won the other, but we skipped the world championships, went to Japan to run the Japanese nationals, and this was back then, it was 12 scale on road. The reason for it was to at Trinity to explore opportunities to import his own motor and the electric motor. So at the time, everybody had to buy their electric motors through Reedy, and buying them through your competitor is a limiting factor, that's for sure. So he knew
in order to
get any further that he had to go find his own motors. And at that time, it was Japan was where it was at, and we got a invite to the race, and went over to race, and also to talk to the companies that are over there. It was quite, he had a lot of trouble actually planning the meetings. I know if people have heard other interviews with Ernie, it was, basically no doors were open to him. Trinity wasn't that big back then. They were just getting going. And so nobody really wanted to talk about, him importing his own motor. And but we go to the race, we compete. Long story short about the race, we had three heats, I believe. The first one we missed because we didn't hear our name. Obviously, everybody speaking Japanese, even though you could hear our name in English, but we just missed it. It somehow, we didn't realize what heat was up, blah, blah, blah. So we missed our first heat, if I remember correctly. Second heat, we go out and break a front stub axle on the spindle, just out of the blue, just something was over hardened. So in the, we had one round to kind of salvage the trip in a way, because, everything else had been going not our way as far as getting meetings. So, but third round, I set the fast time and TQ'd, and then we ended up winning the main. And then Monday morning, we had several meetings with multiple manufacturers to talk about importing motors. So that was really, I think, the
change their tune.
Trinity. Yeah. And we went over and showed that we had, that we had the expertise and the speed to make who's ever base motor we were going to modify, or Trinity was going to modify, go fast. So so that really kind of opened the door for Trinity to become its control its own destiny. So
it really was important.
It was very important, yeah, for the company for sure. And it was important enough to skip a world championship for. So of which we probably had a good chance of winning. You never know. So, and we were on a roll that year. Kind of won everything. So it was a good opportunity, and it was just a lot of luck involved, obviously, to put in one run and make the show. So, but obviously it worked out. So,
and the rest is history.
As they say, yes.
So I see you got involved in RC through your dad being involved in the RC industry. What was your father involved in? Did he own a shop or was...
Yeah, my father. Wow, he had been in the hobby industry for quite a while. I mean, as a kid, he started working at a hobby shop, and then as he got older, he was working for American Model Car Raceways, who made all the slot tracks back in the '60s that were a big fad, obviously, and so. Mm-hmm. He went around installing those and teaching people how to run their slot business. And then from there, we ended up in Hawaii. He was over there running slot centers. He built, I think, 3 or 4 over there for a customer. And then that customer ended up hiring him away to run the slot centers for him. So we were in Hawaii for 10 years, and during then, first couple of years were the slot centers, and then after that, he was managing a chain of hobby shops over there. So, and then in 74, 75, we moved to Santa Clara, California, and he opened up his own hobby shop, which we had for 10 years. And so that's how I was always, I was basically born into, into the hobby, if you will. My father also... founded NAMBA, which is the North American Model Boat Association, which is like the roar of boating.
Okay.
So he and another person, so he is very active in model boating. That was always his first love. But we immediately started running, electric car races out in front of our shop. Originally, they were gas races with a Jaraby, but about the time we opened the shop was about the time that the electric car craze, if you will, started with the 12-scale electric cars from Leisure, and soon after Associated had their own car, and they were just, the first cars were just the gas Jaraby cars that had electric motors bolted in where the nitro engine was, and batteries were where the fuel tank was. So, but being in Silicon Valley, we were kind of, in California, obviously, we're, kind of right in the middle of it, and we actually had 1975, we had electronic speed controls all the way back then and then we actually went to a wiper system because they were actually faster top speed. But, I started, my first car had an electronic speed control to begin with from this company called Electrocraft, which was based out of San Jose there where we were near where our shop was. So,
cool.
So that's kind of how I got involved in this. And, I started racing in parking lots when I was 8 years old and been doing it ever since.
That's cool background. I had no idea. So,
Joel, of all the tracks that you've been on, what would you say was your favorite track of all time?
Favorite track of all time was Ranch Pit Shop, their on-road track they had there back in the day in Pomona, which was originally Thorpe Raceway. But as far as asphalt went, I loved racing there, and I had a tremendous amount of success. Obviously had the world championship there in 92 that I won, and many national championships that I won there. And that track was, it just was like a second home for me. So that was definitely between that. And then of course Cleveland every year, I always enjoyed going to Cleveland over Thanksgiving, and really became, that became my Thanksgiving. It was kind of weird to stay home for Thanksgiving after I kind of retired. So, but Cleveland also was very good to me, and I got to really enjoy hanging out at the Independence, Ohio Holiday Inn. So maybe it's like the Helsinki syndrome, when you fall in love with your captor there. But anyway, so those two places I really enjoyed.
Yeah, that covered. We had a listener submission question on that. Jeff Cuffs actually asked that favorite track. He wanted to know. All-time favorite class.
Well, I think all really is a 12 scale, and probably if you have to delve down, I really enjoyed running outdoors, 12 scale on asphalt, which back then was 6L. Now, we're all in the single cell lipo era, but 6L 12 scale on asphalt was probably my favorite. Although, I really did enjoy running 4 cell as well, but if I had to pick between 4-cell and 6-cell, I think I'd choose 6-cell just because that's really where I started. And it just has the most for my driving style and feel, I really enjoyed running on asphalt.
Kind of the cream of the crop, too. I mean, the best of the best were, you know, racing that class.
Yeah, I did very well. And, you know, I mean, asphalt racing kind of fell out of favor, you know, when all the most of the 12-scale racing was going indoors in the late 80s and things. So as there were asphalt races, I became the guy that actually had the most experience. So I was able to continue to have a lot of success there, even as I aged, if you will, and my reflexes weren't maybe what the younger kids were.
Nonsense.
I don't know. That's when you raced at. I saw you last year at Jackson's, at the Honorable Nationals at Jackson's RC Raceway.
Yes.
And how did you feel about that race? Like, what did you come away learning about that race? You were talking about reflexes, losing your reflexes and stuff. But I mean, I think we were both talking about technology changed so much. You were trying to get used to all the, you know, the brushless motors, the lipos. What was the hardest part of adjusting to that race? Because that was your first time back in how long?
I mean, yeah, for on-road, that was for electric. I mean, really, that was my first time back since, I mean, in reality, 1999. I hadn't, I mean, I ran a Reedy race in between there, but that was really kind of a one-off something while I was working at Kyosho. They said, hey, you know, Reedy race is just across town because we were in Lake Forest there, so they said, you know, why don't you go run it? And I'm like, I didn't even have a car, you know. So we kind of threw something together in a week, and I went and tried to run. But the thing I struggle with, I think now, the way the cars drive, when you talk about touring cars, is the solid front axles and how the cars are, how they drive. I was used to driving with, you know, using the brakes and steering, you know, trying to get the car into the turn at the same time. And now with the solid front axles, you have to really get all your braking out of the way before you initiate the turn. And that's something which is much different than the style I was adapted when I was running touring cars there towards the end, you know, of my career. And so I'm still trying to kind of make that happen, and old habits die hard. So I still struggle with that. And I've just recently, in the last few weeks, started picking up touring cars again and playing with them, and I'm, you know, that's basically what I'm working on, is just the braking and getting the cars to react how I want it to react on the brakes. And so, you know, it is a different ball game from, you know, basically 99 was the last time I played with these. The cars are, God, they got to be almost twice as fast as when we were running them, and they're just much quicker, and the, you know, there's no more one way, so, you know, it's all about driving way deep into the turn, getting, you know, hauling the car down very quickly, and then rotating through the turn, maybe with less corner speed than what we had. But it's a much more point and shoot type of style versus when I was, you know, doing it full time, where it was much more of a flowing feel to the car. And honestly, I think the tires are worse than they were when we were running. I mean, it was an open tire deal when we were racing, so we had lots of traction too. So I think the tires now, with the control tire and things, they've gone backwards a little bit. So that there's probably a little less traction, although chassis technology maybe is making up for that. Really, I think it's just that solid front axle that for me makes it most difficult to drive.
Some cool insight there. What kind of touring car are you diddling around with right now?
I'm running a Associated. I just built one of their 6.1, their latest TC6, and actually tonight I'm probably heading over to West Coast right after this interview to go practice and, you know, get a little more used to running in case I do want to run the Nationals or something again this year. So.
Dude, we should get a trackside report.
Oh, dude, we can watch that on my. We can watch out on Live RC after we're done here. Sweet.
You probably can, or you can follow me on Twitter or something. I usually tweet from the track something, you know, semi.
Wait, really?
Fun. Yeah, yeah.
Throw it out there. What's the Twitter name?
At Race, a.k.a. Joel. So,
cool. I'll have to follow that.
But you can follow me on Twitter. I'm usually got a few choice tweets throughout the week of something. I try not to be too serious, but I'm trying to learn all this new social media.
It's crazy. And
it is. It's a lot of fun, though, actually. You know, it can get, I guess, addicting in a way.
But, yeah.
Anyways, you can follow me there. And I, of course, we have at Race AKA for AKA products as well. And we do tweet stuff through there. So
yes, I see you got Facebook and Twitter up on with your site now.
Right. Yeah, we just got that going in the last few weeks. We've brought in somebody, Brent Figge. For those guys out here who know Brent, is doing all of our social media marketing, and he's working full time for us. So we're real excited to have him on board and bringing us into the 21st century with all of our social media.
Cool. That's it.
I remember back with Trinity, Joel was designing the website,
mm-hmm.
the new website we were launching. And I had the task or the honor of trying to come up with a list of every godforsaken bad name you could think of that somebody would register with. Joel's like, give me every bad name that you can think of. Remember that, Joel?
Yep, I remember. Yeah, you got to be able to block all those. So.
Yeah, I had to be able to block. So he's like, come up with a list. And I'm like, oh, my God. I think that was my hardest project. That's where we got from there. Because, yeah. Man, everybody's so creative, and you have to come up with all these different – oh, it's terrible.
Oh, yeah. It's a constant battle with those guys, the spammers, et cetera. So.
So I'm kind of hurt that you didn't get a hold of me to help you out.
Well, you know, the technology is such that they kind of have it built in now. So
I noticed that.
You no longer have to come up with them on your own.
Yeah,
he tried to crack the code. That's why he knows.
Yeah, exactly. You guys have been trying to get into our site. I appreciate that. Well, I guess we're doing a good job then.
So I guess segue into AKA a big win for you guys this past weekend. Jared Tebow winning the Neo 12.
Yes, yeah, that was a great win for us, and a great way to kind of kick off the year for us. Jared's always been super fast over there, and Europe's an important market for us, and so we're very excited about that.
Awesome! Congratulations.
We also had six of the 14 or 15 in the main on
the
AKA,
top 15.
Yeah, so that was great. And Ryan Lutz did a great job coming in fourth. So it was all around a good weekend for us.
Good showing over there. Yeah. So how does like three major players, you, Gil, Losey Jr., Pavitas, how do three main players like that form AKA?
Well, it's that stem AKA kind of stems back to the Kyosho America days. Both Gil and Mark worked for Kyosho America. I brought them on board to fulfill a task given to me by the chairman of Kyosho, which was to create an American brand, if you will, for Kyosho to design products for the American market. And brought Gil and Mark on, both guys I knew well. And, the idea was to start, you got to crawl before you run or walk. And so we decided to start with accessories, and we thought the tire market was a good opportunity to jump in. And, especially with Mark's background with Proline and then, of course, Gil's background with Team Losey and developing their entire tire line. And so that's kind of how that was the genesis of AKA. And, and soon after, couple years after we were, about a year and a half, I guess, after we'd kind of started it and got it going, the recession hit and Kyosho wanted to change direction. So we bought the brand. Gil, myself, and Gil's father, Gil Losey Sr., Pops, from AKA, and brought it, into its own company. And that was at the end of 2008. And so now, here we are going into our fourth year as our own company. And, it's been quite a, it's been a journey, that's for sure. So a lot of learning, steep learning curve. And, but we've been fortunate to have a very, we really had good success. It's been great to be associated with all the Kyosho distributors around the world, and it really gave us a jump start into the market. And we know we'd probably have good product with Gil and Mark behind it, and combining that with the Losey's experience in the U.S. market and Kyosho's experience around the world, it really, it really worked out well, and we couldn't be happier.
Cool. That's something I didn't realize. So that's cool history on that. Pretty successful in 4 years, I'd say.
got some good products there. I noticed you guys just got into the pre-mounts for the low C short course tires. How are the pre-mounts doing for you guys?
Pre-mounts really are kind of, I think, what to the average consumer, that's what we're known for, is our pre-mounts are just second to none. And they, yeah. You know, we use, you know, they're all pre-mounted by hand, and we use our own glue, just like you buy off the shelf, to pre-mount every tire we pre-mount. And, you know, bottom line is they just don't come off, and they're solid. And so the pre-mounts are our best-selling items across the board in any, you know, in any form. And the new low C 4x4 truck has been a good product for us. It's a popular 4x4 truck, and the pre-mounts, you know, again, are, you know, nobody really enjoys mounting their own tires. And now that there's kind of a everybody's settled on these closed cell inserts, and I think ours are viewed as the best. You know, we have a great combination between our tires and wheels and inserts. So people buy them pre-mounted because there's, you know, the choices aren't that great anymore, and nobody has to worry about, do I have the right insert for the track? They know they do, and so it's been great.
And I guess you can't screw that up, so that's a perfect option for somebody who's a little iffy on mounting their own stuff. So cool, it's perfect deal right there.
Exactly.
Anything, Gotti? I got some silly questions. Well, not really silly, kind of like more obscure questions than anything.
All right, I'm ready.
All right. So I remember way back, the year Pro Car was around. I forget what year that was. I remember the Nationals out in Mattoon, Illinois, and you had the coolest sunglasses. You had Oakley Prescription Blue Iridium sunglasses. Did you hang on to those things or what?
You know, I did, but I don't have them anymore. And I in a way, I wish I had, because my prescription hasn't changed in years. But I took them mountain biking, and I ended up taking them off, and I had them in a bag, and I didn't realize there was something else in there, and it just destroyed the lenses.
No,
they were just so scratched I couldn't use them anymore. But they were a cool. Cool pair of sunglasses, and you know, it took a little bit of getting used to with the wraparound style. Uh-huh. It bulged things because it did distort things a little bit back then. That was when they first started doing it. I'm sure they've got that handled now. But those were great sunglasses. And I mean, I raced for years. I've needed glasses all my life, and I raced till I was 18 without glasses. And And I just finally got to the point where I said, well, maybe I'll try this. And you know, once I got used to seeing everything in actually much clearer, I mean, I'm not blind by any means, but it's certainly, things are sharper mm-hmm. when they get 20, 30 feet away. And so now, of course, I wear them all the time, and I can't do without them. But those were very cool glasses, and I wish I still had them. But I actually may be getting another pair here pretty soon, because I need to get new glasses. And, you know, Kyosho America was only a couple blocks from Oakley, so we've got some connections over there from from being that close. And so I have to call on those one of these days to get some new glasses.
Sweet. Yeah, that were. I just remember, man, that was just, you know, Joel had the coolest stuff, and, I mean, sunglasses were hot.
Kirby's all about image, and, you know, he pays attention to that stuff, so.
I mean,
he knows that, really.
Nobody else was rocking blue iridium glasses up there, man.
No, you gotta look the part. Just you know,
race fast, look fast.
Exactly.
Here's one I remember from. I guess I remember this one from K&N. I know Dieter always had a hat on, and maybe even the shirt. You guys had, and I forget that. This is why I'm asking you, because the name escapes me. I don't know if you guys were like sponsored or hooked up with a cell phone company back then.
Oh yeah, it was Cellular One.
Cellular One,
yeah, which is no longer around. I don't know who they are now, but yeah, we had like this hookup through Cellular One, who was through a friend of Jim's that was a racer, and we had a little bit of a corporate sponsorship back then, if you will.
Cool.
So
Yeah.
Yeah. Back when that, nobody had cell phones. We had cell phones, and you know, I remember getting it. And I was like, "Wow, this is so cool." You know, I mean, it was. You know, nobody had those things, or they were in a bag. You know, and I had one of the first. I think it was a Nokia. You know, handheld one. It was that was pretty hip. Now it's
not going to get any better than this.
Yeah, that was awesome. You're not going to find that in your ordinary interview right there. Some of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you thought back then, this cell phone is not going to get any better than this, guys. I got a bag phone. I can carry it anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Those bag phones were quite the thing back then. So.
another little thing I picked up on, and it was I remember it from the Masters of RC, the trading cards. Your photo was... I'm guessing like a GRX Pro SE, and I think you had it on more cars than that one. You had the old school Apple logo, the old school Apple decal on there. Any particular reason or?
I've always been kind of a Mac fan, and I think at the time I had a friend who I raced with back home, because you know Apple's in Cupertino, which is right next to San Jose, where I grew up, and you know, that worked there. And so we always, you know, I always had some sort of a decal or something like that on there. Mm-hmm. You know, ooh. It was nothing more than that. Just kind of a fan of their products.
All right, I didn't know if you know the cell phone hookup, the Mac hookup. Wasn't sure.
Jeez.
No. Back then, they didn't have cell phones. They barely had Apple. Barely had computers back then. Yeah.
Some of you are testing the iPod back then.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, that would be a little bit premature on the iPod testing. Yeah.
Hey, my girlfriend asked a question from Carrie Lowe. Mm-hmm. She wanted to know that, you know, you drivers gravitate toward a signature color on your cars. What made you choose your colors, that purple, pink, and white scheme?
Wow, that's a good question. That I found, let's see, I had a good friend that I raced with growing up that was into the dirt old, like the sprint cars and midgets and that. And he ran race quarter midgets for a long time. And he and his dad used to paint my bodies. And I remember he had a Circle Track magazine on his desk, and I was thumbing through it, and there was somebody had a sprint car painted in white with the three shade, with a pink, maroon, and purple kind of paint job. And I just saw that. I'm like, that looks really cool. And I don't know. I just saw it. I said, I want to paint something like this. So we mixed up some colors, and because his dad was a painter, and that's where it started. And I just dug it. And I kind of kept it ever since. It's morphed, you know, I've kind of updated it throughout the years with the scheme. But yeah, mm-hmm. It came from that picture, that sprint car. In that color scheme, and you know, nobody, it was also very unique. Nobody ran pink, obviously, for various reasons, but I was fast enough to pull it off, I guess. So
yeah,
it became a signature paint job, and it was the 80s too. You got to admit, I mean, there's a lot of fluorescent, mm-hmm. you know, fluorescent pinks and turquoises and things. So it wasn't too far off the trend, if you will. But yeah, that's where that scheme came from.
Nice. Yeah, you can't really trash talk if somebody's destroying you with that, you know, a pink and purple paint job, you know.
Can't trash talk magic. Yeah.
Very, very similar to the yeah, right? It's very similar to the colors on the sprint car my brother currently works on. They always had the either black or white, but they always had, you know, purple, pink. Very similar.
Interesting.
Ryan's copycat.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe they probably saw Joel's car and changed it up.
Hey, it goes fast. They all look good up front, you know, whatever color they are. So.
No doubt. Another viewer, listener submission was Bob Barry asked, favorite moment in RC and why?
Whew. Favorite moment in RC. All right, I will go back to. It's actually not car related. I was racing the Model Boat Nationals with my father at Leg Lake, and I don't remember the year. It was in the mid 90s, probably. And my father has always been a racer, model boat racer, but never was one really to go fast. He was more about building beautiful boats and. and the scaleness of the boats and things. And it was always running races, never really, would you say, a hardcore racer. But he won his first national championship there, and I was with him. I was his pit man, and you know, for me that was I'd had all the success by then in the car world, and my dad became quickly known as Joel Johnson's father, not Gary Johnson. And even though he, you know, basically founded the organization that people are racing in, but it was more of a joke with them. But anyway, so we, you know, to be a part of his first national championship, and you know, to get thrown in the lake with him, and you know, just to see everybody having a great time with it, because he's made so many national races and was, you know, contest director for several of them, and organized so many races over the years. So it was a special moment for me to share that with him. And you know, he passed away I think 3 or 4 years after that, and so mm-hmm. to be able to share that with him and have that moment was really special. So
very cool, man. Race boats too, jeez. And
I was 76 junior. I was 76 junior national champion in model boats back in the day.
Wow! So that should be 35.
Oh, yeah. Just tally it up. Why not?
All right.
35. You have to correct that on your website.
Carry the one.
Carry the one. Yeah.
any more serious questions for Joel? Got it. I got some goofy ones, and then we can wrap it up.
But that, you know, earlier Joel touched on the ownership of AKA, and that was from Douglas Cooing had that question. He wanted to know who was behind AKA. So I'm sure Joel touched on that for Doug. So appreciate it, Doug.
Goofy question time.
Anytime. I mean, you guys have known me for a long time, so I'm sure there's, you know, I'm sure you've got these lined up. So.
All right. I already know the answer to this one, but from previous interviews, Coke, Pepsi, or Mountain Dew?
I'm a Coke guy.
Okay.
Diet Coke, to be specific. I have a big gulp every morning.
Oh, you do? So do I.
Yeah, it's my coffee.
Yeah, and I get criticized for it.
I probably should stop doing it, but I don't know. It's just one of those things. I'm not a warm drink guy, so I have my Diet Coke.
Well, there's something in Diet Coke that's supposed to give you cancer, supposedly. Yeah. Everybody that's telling me about that. So they're like, you're done.
There's everything we eat has something that will give us cancer.
Yeah.
So.
For real. Any energy drink consumption? Stay away from that stuff, or.
No, I stay away from that stuff. The guys around here are big Monster fans, and I have some friends who run the Monster downhill team, so we do get a delivery of that every once in a while that falls off the truck. So the Monster, it's kind of a Monster crew around here. So, but not for me.
I
stick to Diet Coke. I'm old school.
The original.
Kirby, we need a job at AKA.
Man. Just clean out our. We'll get in a broom closet or something. We'll make it happen. We'll glue up some tires. We'll do pre-mounts. Well, okay, maybe not.
There you go.
We'll want some reliable tires. We have to practice. Let's see. iPhone, Droid, or BlackBerry?
iPhone, all the way.
Kind of figured that with the whole Mac deal, but God, he's a Droid guy. I side with the iPhone as well.
Yeah, when I browse the web, I like to have Flash.
Yes, it does help, but I don't browse the web too much on my phone. It's a little more of a tool.
Well, you can't. You're on an iPhone.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh boy.
Good times.
Let's see. What could we find? What kind of music could we find on your iPhone/iPod?
Wow. Let's see. Everything. I'm holding it in my hand.
Something that you're embarrassed to tell us about, but you're going
guilty
to.
Guilty pleasure.
Oh, guilty pleasure. All right. Here's my guilty pleasure. Let's see what I've got in here. Let me shuffle through. artists. I know there's a couple in here. How about Bow Wow Wow? I've got a little Bow Wow Wow in here. I've got Buffalo Spring. Yes, Buffalo Springfield. That's not too bad. I have. There's a couple in here. I'm kind of an 80s fan.
Miley Cyrus.
I can't stop listening to some, you know, 80s stuff like Vanity Six or something to that effect. I kind of get caught up in that. I got a little Katy Perry and Kesha. All right. Okay. Yeah. That's nope. I don't know if that's a
No Hanson or anything like that, right? No Hanson.
No Hanson, no. All right. No, I don't have anything that far off the mark, but I have, you know, I don't have any real stuff that's out there, but I have a little bit of everything. I mean, I've got everything from jazz to, you know, to blues to, you know, some hard rock. I mean, if you call Metallica hard rock these days, I'm not, you know, it's not Slipknot.
Do you listen to something specific, like to get you jacked up for a race?
You know, my go-to used to be Van Halen. I'd always listen. It was something I listened to before my high school football games. I used to listen to the entire Down CD, or actually it was probably cassette tape back then, but I'm dating myself. But I was a big Van Halen fan, that CD. And yeah, now I don't really.
You don't listen to like, it's Magic or stuff
like that. Yeah, ABBA or something, maybe Air Supply. Yeah, no, I do, you know, when I exercise, because now I'm old, and if I don't, I'll just turn into a blob. I'm more of a hard rock guy, so I'm more into the, let's see, what do I got here that's, I'm not good with names, so I have to remember what these new bands are, like Puddle of Mud and that genre of rock.
Uh-huh.
is kind of in my keep myself going on the treadmill or on my mountain bike or whatever I'm doing. So but I'm all over the map on music. I can kind of listen to anything and have fun with it. We actually listen to a lot of Pandora here at work, so sometimes we'll have gangster rap day, you know, we'll just Pandora playing the Snoop Dogg channel or whatever. It's kind of fun. We'd have a lot of trivia questions on who did what and who's singing the song, and Hodap is the champion in our office. But I run a close second when I'm in the 80s and 90s. I can hold my own. So
I take it you're David Lee Roth over Van Hagar, huh?
Yeah, I'm a David Lee Roth fan, yeah. Van Hagar, not so much. It's just a different style. It wasn't me. So.
Yeah.
If we were to open up your refrigerator, what would we find now compared to back like in the days of Trinity?
Oh, wow. Well, in the days of Trinity, this has been empty.
Because I know you're eating a lot.
I was a bachelor. I probably ate out every night. But, in the back nowadays, it's, let's say, in my first run at Trinity, I was a bachelor, it would have been empty. The second run at Trinity, of course, it would have been full because I was married and had a house, blah, blah, blah. So there have been plenty of stuff. Nowadays, if I have to say what I find in there, well, I did. I'm a big fan of Arizona iced tea, decaffeinated. I've got, of course, there is a six pack of Anchor Steam in there. I've got, I'm a big cereal fan, so I always have nonfat milk to go with my Wheaties in the morning. And probably got some salsa. I love chips and salsa. And if leftovers from several restaurants throughout the week, because even though I have food in the fridge, I tend to go out more often than I should and eat. So.
Yeah.
So that's probably what you'll find in the fridge there. It's a good smattering. And some Diet Coke, although I try not to keep Diet Coke at home because I drink so much during the day.
Well, how many cans do you go through a day?
I'm a big gulp. I'm a big gulp in the morning and at least a big gulp at lunch. So it's, I don't know, add up the ounces. It's too many, I'm sure. But I try not to track it. I mean, I get worse things that I could be drinking. But
yeah. Monster, well, that stuff will kill you.
That's the after hour. Counteract all that caffeine.
You see that? Champions do eat Wheaties.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Well, I'll tell you what. Wheaties missed out. Wheaties missed out on Magic Man. They missed the boat.
Yeah, I was big Wheaties fan, actually. And growing up, I was a big Cheerios fan, too, when I was a kid. I don't eat them as much anymore. I've kind of switched over to Wheaties, but Cheerios and Wheaties have been my two cereals of choice.
Good quality. that's a good eating right there.
Can't complain. No sugar. Not a lot of sugar.
We're giving you insight that you will not hear anywhere else.
So it's true.
Kids that want to go faster, eat your Wheaties.
That's it. Stay regular. So.
Hey, Joel, here's a question for you, Joel, on the topic of food. If you were a type of food, what type of food would you be?
Oh, boy. What is a type of food? I guess if I was a type of
food. If you were a type of food, what type of food would you be?
Or you could go specific, I guess.
If I could be, I guess, in a way.
And you can use this in your interviews at AKA.
Yeah, I think I would be, I'd be like,
because,
I think I'd be like a French fry, something like starchy that everybody, you know, that you can't put down, I guess, everybody likes.
Now, see, you'd be a high risk for companies. Usually that question is to let companies know if you're likely to enjoy unhealthy foods and raise their insurance rates.
Oh, I did not know that.
How about that one, Joel?
I try to eat healthy, but I mean, if I'm going to really be a food, and I'm going to be unhealthy if I'm going to be a food.
Yeah.
Who wants to be lettuce?
Pencil that into your questions to ask future employees.
I appreciate the insight, and I will make that one of the main, you know, structure on which I base my hiring on.
First question.
Sound.
First question.
I won't base it on the fact that they're tremendously overweight as they walk in. As long as they say they want to be a salad, they're in. So.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
I just thought of one that was a racing question that popped in my mind. I remember the 12-scale car that came out, the Magic Carpet Ride with the monoshock front end.
Yes.
That didn't stick around too long, but, man, that was – such a cool car.
Yeah, that was actually a Delta front end that we had on that thing. And I think that car came around because we ended up winning, if I remember correctly, the Cleveland way back in the day. And it was, the track got really bumpy and unpredictable. And that front end really smoothed the car out and made it easy to drive, and which was perfect for winning the race. But once everything smoothed out, I think the front end didn't have enough steering. So at the end of the day, it was too easy to drive and not fast enough at that level. So it was a kind of a short-lived fad, but a good car nonetheless. I think it was probably a good club-level car. But Magic Carpet Ride.
Man, I remember I had to have that.
You didn't realize who the inventor of the T-bar is, really, or the ball pivot T-bar.
Losey Jr., right?
Yeah, that's what the L in 12L is. So
yeah.
So that's
and then how the heck did Associated get their hands on that? Sheesh.
That's a story for the Losey interview you guys will have to
write that one down.
So when I get out of this interview, he's just in the other room, so I'll tell him to give you guys a call. Maybe I'll have to book him.
Yeah. Just transfer. Oh, yeah, that'll work.
That'd be great. Can you transfer?
You just transfer him over? Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, we definitely want to get him on the show.
We got to get Dieter. Somehow we got to track him down. I don't know how that's going to work out.
Yeah. Well, I have his cell phone number, but he never answers.
Yeah.
That's not right.
He's busy.
You should change your number. He probably has it. He probably knows who you are.
That's terrible. That's terrible. A couple more fun questions and we'll let you go.
All right.
If you try to fail and succeed, what have you done?
If you try to fail and succeed, what have you done? I don't even know how to answer that. That's a.
I was just trying to get an answer on that. I don't know either.
Why would anybody try to fail? I believe you failed, actually. if you set out to do something that you didn't do, I believe that's a failure. So.
It's a successful failure, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Interesting.
Tom or Jerry on the cartoon. Tom or Jerry fan.
Oh, Tom or Jerry. I think I'm a Tom guy. I like Tom.
Yeah.
Yes. Right out.
That's mine, too. I think you're passing the test, Joel.
Yeah, looking at some of these grades.
All right. Well,
you're heading off to West Coast Raceway?
Yeah, in theory, I still have to pack a few things, but yeah, that's where I'm going to go have some fun up there tonight. So
even though people won't hear this till a couple days from now, tune into Live RC and you can watch Joel race at West Coast Race.
Yes. Every Wednesday night or Tuesday night, not every, but some nights I am up there playing around. So you might catch
me
on the camera as I enter the driver's stand. So.
And get your stopwatches ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very important.
Well, we look forward to following you on your Twitter. Yes.
Yeah, I think I have like 8 followers now. I'm blowing up. So,
soon to be 10.
Yeah, and I'll be 10, and then, geez, who knows, by the end of the week, probably be up to 20. So,
we'll pass the word, and we're gonna blow up your Twitter.
Yeah, let's see the power of your podcast. We'll see what you guys have to offer.
Oh, man.
Can't fail. We can't fail, Gotti. Let's do this.
Better get out there, start ringing the bells, get everybody signed up. So you guys have a Twitter
really
account or anything?
Oh yeah.
Well, what's your? I gotta follow you guys, obviously.
No.
Well, mine's at Gotti Jr.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
And then
I'll add you to my list.
There you go. And mine is at KHand187.
KHand187. All right, I can. I have those written down, so you guys will each gain a follower.
Yes.
Oh,
magic
sweet.
Following.
Feeling the love, man.
Man.
Feeling the love. Hey,
take that one off the bucket list.
Yep.
You guys are very nice.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. I mean, I really thank you for doing this.
Yeah,
for us.
I'm sure you had up your ears in interviews for the past 20 odd years. So we do appreciate it, giving us a chance. Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem. We all go way back, so it's fun catching up with you guys and willing to do it anytime. So,
Are we going to see you at the 8-Scale Nationals?
In Pennsylvania, it's a possibility. I'm not. Ooh. I don't have my ticket yet, but there is a possibility. So.
Oh, great. Well, if you're out there, we'll meet up then, for sure. Yeah.
That's like I said, he'll be sick of us by the end of that weekend.
He'll be trying to get back home fast.
Yes, I'll just stop showing up to the track. So I'll watch on live RC. Man.
No, it was great seeing you last year again. That was a long time since we saw each other and at the Onro Nationals. And it was cool meeting up with you here today, too. So,
well, best of luck with your podcast, guys. And
appreciate it.
Look you guys up and stay in touch.
All right, buddy. And now transfer us over to Gil.
You got it. I'll put you in his place.
All right, Joel.
Thanks, Joel. Continued success at AKA.
Thank you. Thank you. So we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Boom. There you.
That's bad.
There you have it.
That's the magic.
Yeah. That was a pretty cool interview, man. That was, he's a legend. That was so cool to get some of those weird questions and, find out some answers.
You don't really hear. Right.
Yeah, the old sunglasses and the cell phone. Yeah, good stuff. I mean, who's asking that stuff? Us. That's who. Yeah.
Well, you got a good eye. I mean, looking at the pictures there and seeing the Apple logo on his car.
Yeah.
And stuff. I never noticed that. But
attention to detail, Gotti.
Yes. Man, I guess we could have been on it with him for another hour or two.
Yeah, he said 20 and we took about twice that, so.
Yeah. Yeah. His agent was beeping in my ear. He's got to go testing. He's got to go testing. So.
He's blowing up my cell phone with text messages. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So we can get on live RC and watch him practice now.
That's
huh?
gonna be fun. I'd be like, he'd be like talking him up in the chat and everything. Yeah.
Sweet.
So, I guess that's the end of our interview. Pretty good. And
too bad he couldn't transfer us over to Gil. How often would that been?
Could have knocked out two in one day. Cool. You'd be up for 12 hours editing, Gotti.
Yeah, we'll have to do that another time.
And I noticed, apologies to the listeners, I noticed our quality here kind of dipped during the interview there.
Yeah.
But we'll get it fixed out. That's
somehow
that's what happens, you know.
Yeah, you dropped out there for a little bit and came back, and it came.
I did, and it was during the AKA question. So right. I'm gonna have to listen to the podcast and get the answer now. So.
Yeah, missed out on it, but thanks for Doug Cooling to send that in to us. I'm sure that answers his question.
Yeah, he covered a lot there. That was good insight, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't know the full history there. So, Joel, Joel covered a lot for us, so we appreciate Joel coming on. Any last send-offs, shout-outs?
Oh, man.
Give him the rundown of our social media business, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, facebook.com/radioimpound, twitter.com/radioimpound.
Email?
Correct. We got some new likes on the Facebook page. Carlton Duty Jr., Bob Barry. I think he had a question that you
got that one.
Answered for him. Now, I'm not going to be able to pronounce these names. I think these two names are from overseas.
So we apologize up front, but Scotty's going to give it his best.
Yeah. I got the first name, Chris.
Ah, that's not hard.
Yeah. Chris, how do I want to Chris Opadyke.
I knew you could do it.
That sounds about right. Sorry if I messed that up, Chris. And the other one I do not have to pronounce either. This is a tough one. I'm going to say the first name's Frody.
Mm-hmm.
And Scavine? Frody Scavine. How's that sound?
That's it. That's him.
Yeah, well.
He's like, that's me. Yeah, you pronounce it right.
So I hope I pronounced those right, but thanks for the new likes. We're getting up pretty high there on Facebook now. So that's what's
spread
good.
The word. Just, you know, if you like it. And you think somebody else racing might like it, just tell them, give us a chance, and I think we'll win them over.
Yep, and we're getting good downloads, so I'm very happy. Everything's looking good.
Yep. I'm going to give a shout-out to and a thanks to Steve Mathis from PulpMX.com. He does a motocross, supercross podcast show, and he's been helping us out with a lot of podcasts. Education and whatnot. So special thanks to Steve. Rick and Ramsey Hawk, I'd like to thank them. Todd Newsom, Jim Beachley, supporters. Greg from Radio Post, Matt from MIP. Thank you to those guys that give me a chance here. Coming back into it. I guess I'll shout out some other sponsors of mine. We got Globe Shoes, Smith Optics, GoPro cameras, Novik gloves, and Matrix Concepts. So, show love to those guys, and thanks for your support.
Wow, so, you're moving up fast.
Yeah, look out! I'm gonna be in the B main one day.
Yeah, it won't be long. You'll be going for that A national title.
Yeah. Man, now we're going to have to do a different logo. All right. I'm up for it.
No.
I just need to find an obscure class, like 12-scale off-road.
12-scale off-road?
6-0.
Oh, boy. That's good.
That'd be an easy eighth, I guess, right? Yeah. I'm going to have to start. I'll just start the class. There. That's all I'll do. So, 19 turn. We'll bring that back.
I agree. Let's do it.
I'm sure there's chameleons in some warehouse somewhere that need sold.
Well, we know how to call for those. So check and see.
Yeah. Enough rambling. We'll close her up. Scotty will get it edited, and next time you hear from us will be episode 4.
Yes.
So.
Don't know who we're going to get on yet. We have a list here.
Yeah, we have celebrities. Model. I mean, we're gonna have to whittle it down.
Well, you might have a big celebrity for us. We're not gonna say any names, but you might have a real good one.
Yeah, you never know. Let's see what I can do here on the off week.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Definitely would be nice. So.
Yeah. So, all right, guys.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. appreciate the support in this little podcast of ours. And yep, I guess till next time, Gotti.
We out.
See you next time, boys. Later.